There's one. Set for stun.
Hi, I'm Jay. This is my hetero life mate, Solid Bob.
Inconceivable!
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
And welcome to another edition of The Unique Geek. I am your host, John, and we're down to just a couple of days left until Dragon Con at this point. And joining me...
Just a few.
You hear her, the lovely voice.
Yes, just Lee. A few more days. It's me. Hi, Lee. How are y'all?
I didn't get to put any adjectives that time. I stopped you. Lee, we were just talking a second ago, and you said you actually have something to banter about
I do have something to banter about. So every year, well, not every year, but last year, Dragon Con did a night at the Georgia Aquarium, and they are doing that again this year. So for the ticket is less. I think it's about $10 off. You can go to Dragon Con. People will be there in their Dragon Con costumes. There will be a DJ. Spinning some tunes in the lobby area, but you get to go around the aquarium, and it is for Dragon Con people, and it'll be Saturday night. And there are buses, and if I'm correct, they leave from the Hyatt and will take you down to the aquarium. I will also say that if it's not miserably hot and you're not wearing really, really uncomfortable shoes, it's not walk from the Hyatt to the aquarium. You can actually do that pretty decently. It's a decent walk. It's mostly downhill. On the way back, not so much, but on the way there, it's not too bad. There's that. There's also, Dragon Con has partnered with the High Museum. And so you can get discounted tickets to go to the High while you're at Dragon Con. And usually I would say that's kind of cool because it's the High. The High has actually got an amazingly, a very good permanent exhibit space. It's very, very good. But this year it's even more neat. That's a really lovely term to use for the High.
Neater.
So glad I have a liberal arts degree. You can tell how tired I am. But the good thing about this is that the Salvador Dali exhibit is in Atlanta. These are some of his paintings that have never been seen in one grouping before. And I know some people who have gone and who said it was surpassed and just blew away every expectation they had, that they thought, oh, it'll be kind of neat. And it was just stunning that the colors and everything else, just it was an assault on the senses in the best possible way. So those are pretty cool. And I had been knowing about the potential for the Dali thing and the high discount for a while, but it wasn't until this last director's meeting that they said, yep, it's official. You can talk about it now. So I was like, yay, we can talk about it.
Cool.
So that's the cool thing. So those are going on. So those are, if you have people who sometimes just go, are coming with you and don't, you know, like, okay, you can go to the con, but let's do something together afterwards. This is something you could do. Or just you go, you know what, on Sunday, I just can't take 30,000 of my closest, nearest, and dearest friends. They're too close. It's too many. I need a day where there are fewer crowds. Yeah. You have an option to go down to the High Museum, and it's a quick MARTA trip to the High. I think it's two or three stops and less than a block either way to walk. So very good.
Cool. And so speaking of cool things and things that maybe you don't know that Dragon Con is doing, we actually have two guests, and you know, it's a little known fact that Dragon Con does raise money for things other than, you know, putting on the show. So we have a couple of guests today. You want to introduce them for me, Lee?
I will introduce them. This is, we have John and Everett here. They are together running the charity events and the charity auction at Dragon Con. And how are you guys doing?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Fantastic. Yes.
Yeah, it's great. And, there are two of them this year because, as John is saying to people, unfortunately, he's not going to be able to be at Con on Friday and Saturday. He'll be there Sunday and Monday. Am I correct on that, John?
That is correct. Like I'd like to tell everybody, I work for a large multinational telecommunications company with a Death Star-like logo, and work is keeping me away on Friday and Saturday.
Yeah. He has big work things, but there's a second John who is named Everett, and he will be around doing all of the great charity stuff, and so that is great. And so now tell us, what, how long has the DragonCon charity been going on, and what is it, what are you raising money for this year?
Okay, well, the DragonCon's actually had a charity event for a number of years. I've been involved with the convention now for, this will be my 16th year, and we've always had a charity event. But about 4 years ago, I was approached by Pat Henry and Sherry Henry, who are the chairman and the finance director for the convention, about taking over the charity events. I was involved with the convention in other capacity, and things in my life had changed, and so I was kind of stepping down, and they asked me if I would take it over. And I said, sure, I would love to, as long as we could pick national, well-known groups to raise money for. And the first year that we did it was the American Diabetes Association.
Uh-huh.
We created a cycling team and did the American Diabetes Tour de Cure here in Atlanta as a fundraiser for the American Diabetes Association. Anyways, in that first year, we basically generated just a little over $20,000.
Nicely done.
Yes, and in fact, they were just amazed at how much money we were able to raise. And then our second year was for the American Heart Association, and that one was kind of near and dear to our hearts because our former art show director, Patrick Roberts, had recently passed away due to a heart problem. And so we decided to make it in honor of the American Heart Association, in honor of him. And that year was about $25,000 was raised. And then last year's charity was something that was also near and dear to me, was the Georgia chapter of the American Alzheimer's Association. And again, we raised about $25,000, $28,000. Collectively, over the past 3 years, DragonCon charities have raised just a little over $75,000 for charitable organizations. This year's charity is the Lupus Foundation, the Georgia chapter of the Lupus Foundation. And again, that has a couple of people involved in DragonCon, including Sherry Henry, does suffer from lupus. And so, again, it's something that's near and dear to our hearts. Again, we're hoping for at least $25,000, if not more, as far as being raised to go to that organization for this year.
And more is always better, people. Get out your checkbooks. Come on.
Oh, yes.
It's great.
Yes.
Oh, go ahead, Lee.
Well, I was going to say, now, John, you've already got a big group of things, but now, Everett, you'll be showing some stuff around and doing some stuff on Friday and Saturday to kind of pump up people for the charity event. Am I correct?
Yes, I will. Yes, we have a booth.
What are you going to be doing? Yeah.
We have a booth in the Marriott Hotel. It's one floor down from the main entrance. You come down the escalators and turn around, and it's over to your right-hand side. We will be having all of the items that have been donated. We'll have a miscellaneous sampling of the items all day on Friday and Saturday, starting at 9 in the morning until 6 o'clock at night. We'll have people in the booth there to talk about the auction, to talk about the items, to explain how our auction procedures run, and to accept donations from anybody that wants to bring in donations, or anyone who can't make it to the auction and just thinks that this is a great charity and wants to donate some cash.
Awesome. That's very good. So very cool. So you can see some things that might come up.
Yeah.
So, sorry, your turn, John. Non-diver John. Runner John, not diver John.
Well, okay. Now I'm officially confused. where were we? What were we talking about? We were talking about something. Oh, charities. That's right.
Yes, charity.
So you're gonna show some of the stuff now. When is the – and I may have missed this because I was blanking for a second there, obviously. When is the actual auction?
The auction is on Sunday. The auction itself starts at 10 o'clock and runs until 3. We will have the items on display about 15 minutes before the auction so that everybody can come in and look for them. It will be in the Hyatt Hotel, the ballroom level, in the Regency 5 ballroom. That's one of the ballrooms back towards the back, towards where the pool is. And right
it's
after
on the
our
back side of Avanzari, yeah.
Yes, and right after our auction, we also have another auction. The Stargate track has their own auction that a lot of the Stargate guests show up to and bring stuff specifically from Stargate. All the items are very specific to Stargate, and their auction runs from 4 to 6 in that same room.
And it's for this, and it's to raise money for the same charity, correct?
Same charity,
yes. Lupus charity.
In fact, they will have a celebrity auctioneer, actor Paul McGillian, who played Dr. Carson Beckett on Stargate Atlanta. He will be the celebrity auctioneer for the Stargate auction, starting at 4 to 5. He's taken an hour out of his time from the Walk of Fame and his programming to come over and help us raise funds for the Lupus Foundation.
Well, and the Stargate, but I just want to say that there are some really amazing things that the Stargate auction get every year. They'll have sometimes signed script. You have no idea until you get there, but they could have script signed, or they could have,
Lee, I have a list of some of their items already. If you'd like a small sampling, talked to them yesterday. They actually have a uniform that was worn by Dr. Elizabeth Weir, Tori Higginson, that she donated and signed. They've got a wall banner signed by Cliff Simon. They have a poster from the official Stargate convention that was in Vancouver that has a picture of 14 of the Stargate actors on it, and all 14 of them signed it and donated it to us. So they have some really nice items I know of already.
Yes. Well, and I know one year they had pants worn by Michael Shanks. So yep. That was really... That signed and worn by Michael Shanks, and
supposedly
a really big year.
I would say, how much did you bid for those, Lee?
I did not bid for the Michael Shanks pants. Had it been Richard Dean Anderson, they would have gotten some of my money. But
that's exactly. I understand that.
But you understand that. But now, so what are some of the things that you guys have big in your auction? I mean, in the main auction, as it were, this year? Because you guys have 5 hours of auctioning, so there's a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah, we do. Well, first off, you had mentioned the Georgia Aquarium, and one of the many things that I do in the few hours of spare time I have every week is I am a volunteer at the Georgia Aquarium, and they have been nice enough to donate tickets for four with a behind-the-scenes tour of the Georgia Aquarium. So that's one of the things that they've donated on. And I'm hoping, keeping my fingers crossed, I should know by the end of the week, that they may also donate a dive or a swim at the Georgia Aquarium.
Nice.
And so we're looking forward to that. For all the Twilight fans, come on, there's got to be at least a couple of them out there somewhere listening.
There are many of them, just a few.
Yeah. Creative Loafing magazine here in Atlanta has donated an autographed Twilight Eclipse mini poster signed by Taylor Lautner, Robert Pattinson, and Kristen Stewart. They've also donated two robes used on location in Italy during the St. Marcus Festival scene in Twilight New Moon. And, again, so we're looking forward to making those available to the Twilight fans out there. We have a copy. I'm sure you've heard about the new series, upcoming series from AMC called The Walking Dead, based on based on comics written by Robert Kirkman. Anyways, we have a copy. We have the graphic novel or the compendium signed by Robert Kirkman, as well as a number of the principal actors from the upcoming series. A lot of people don't know this, but a lot of that series is being filmed right here in Atlanta.
Right in Atlanta. Yep. So that's really good. So you guys have this is just neat stuff that you guys get. And you get from different actors donations. You also get from fans some donations from their unique collections, as it were, too. So that's always great.
Oh, yeah. We get a lot of fans. We are working, in fact, I'll go ahead and announce it now. Rene Abergene Odo from Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
Is that how you say it?
Abergene? That's how I say it. I don't know.
I know it's not Abergene.
You say tomato, I say tomato. You know. Anyways, he apparently, some artist creates these pumpkins, for the lack of a better term. They look like pumpkins. And when you turn the, you know, they have lights inside of them. And, of course, when the light is turned on, carved in the pumpkin is this picture of Odo. And so this was given to him, and he thought it would be cool to go ahead and donate to us, autographed. And so we're going to make that also available to the fans. I just got a picture of it, and looks fantastic. And we will have that at the booth, plugged in, so the fans can come by and take a look at it and see what it's all about. Again, we'll get plenty of books from a lot of the authors that come to it. We have some Hugo-nominated authors that are attending the convention, and they've been more than gracious to donate autographed copies of their books and things like that. So we're going to have a lot of good things. Of course, the media guests that come in every year, we will have autographed photos from them. And our probably one of our biggest things, and I was very surprised at how well it's done over the years, is we have one of our staff members who actually creates a quilt each year. And every year we take that quilt over to the Walk of Fame, and we get as many people as we can get from the Walk of Fame to sign this quilt. Last year's quilt included signatures from Leonard Nimoy and Patrick Stewart. Hopefully this year we'll even get Stan Lee to be able to sign it. That would be fantastic. That is going to be also made available for bidding as well, and that'll probably be one of the last final items that we will have available for bidding on Sunday afternoon.
Let me ask you guys a little bit about your personal experience with DragonCon. Everett, let me start with you. When did you first come to DragonCon? What was your first experience with DragonCon? And then how long have you been coming, obviously? And how did you get involved with being involved in the charity events, and if you've been a director or whatever along the lines? Tell us a little bit about your history.
Okay. I've been coming to DragonCon since the early 90s. I think it was 14 years ago, I showed up to one of the charity auctions, which is one of the things that I go to at all the conventions, and they had no auctioneer. And they saw me sitting on the front row, and one of them said, well, there's Everett. Maybe he'll do it for us. Yeah. And that's how I became the auctioneer for Dragon Con's charity auctions the first time. And I've been doing it ever since, except for 1 year.
Now, when you first went to Dragon Con, was it just as a fan? You just happened to show up there? Is that what you're saying?
I just came as a fan. As a matter of fact, the first 3 years that I was the auctioneer, I had bought my badge and was just a regular fan, like everybody else, going to tracks and panels. And then they shanghaied me into working, and I've worked in guest transportation, driving back and forth to pick up people from the airport, and guest operations. And then moved over to charity auctions. And I also do charity auctions. I'm the manager of charity auctions for three other conventions, too.
Oh, cool.
Much smaller conventions.
But. Yeah, in next year's 40-day countdown for the Unique Geek, I want to get some of the people that are that coordinate the transportation and the other backside, back office kind of stuff that no one ever – that. People definitely don't see. I mean, we've interviewed a lot of directors and other staff members. People do see those, but the people that are doing security or taking care of registration and things like that, we barely ever get to hear from them or see them. But they are doing yeoman's work out there. So
I agree. I think that would be a great thing, because a lot of those people, I mean, they work long hours, and without them, there'd be no convention.
That's true.
That's exactly true. Exactly true.
John, so. what about?
Oh yes.
What about you? Your experiences with Dragon Con?
My experience with Dragon Con started probably about a little over almost 20 years ago. My wife and I had just moved out from San Diego, California, where I had attended San Diego Comic Con before it became the big mega con that it is now. And when we moved to Atlanta, we were trying to see what kind of conventions there were. I had been a Star Trek fan and Star Wars fan for many, many years prior to that. We attended the con just as fans, and every now and then I would say, hey, did you need some help? And 1 year, Anthony Daniels was there. They needed somebody who knew Atlanta, and I said, sure, I'd be more than happy to show him around and go get him his tuxedo and this and that. And after that first year, they approached me about becoming the director of transportation for the convention. And so that's how I got involved, and now it's been about 16 years now. And from the director of transportation, I eventually moved my way up to the senior director of guest operations, which included the Walk of Fame, again, the green room, guest operations, and things like that. And I did that for a number of years. And then, like I said, about 4 years ago, I had started getting into running and doing triathlon, so my training time kind of cut into my DragonCon time. And so I kind of stepped down from that position, and at that time was offered the position of charity events. And I also want to note that charity events not only include the charity auction, but we also have a blood drive every year at DragonCon. And last year,
I'm sorry, go ahead. We just jumped all over you there. Sorry, yeah, keep going.
We jumped over. We collected over 2,100 pints of blood last year at DragonCon.
Are you kidding me?
I want to say something about this.
This year we're hoping to collect almost 3,200. 3,200 pints. We collect more than San Diego does.
That's what I want to say. That's my big thing. And I have gotten up every year for the past 2 years, and we have kicked San Diego's ass. Excuse me, but we have. They give less than 1,000 pints. They have almost triple the number of people we have. And every year we kick their ass at the blood drive. So let's keep going, DragonCon. Let's do that. That's awesome.
Yep. And DragonCon, even though I run the charity events, you had talked about people behind the scenes. DragonCon for us is a family event, our family thing, because a lot of people don't realize that the office manager of the convention is also my wife. And Miss Brenda, or she's known in fandom here, the DragonCon lady. And so, like I said, for us, not only is it a volunteer thing, it's what my wife does.
Wow. That's awesome. I love it that we kick San Diego's ass every year in the blood drive.
Oh, yeah.
And it only takes, folks, it only takes 30 to 45 minutes to donate. I was able to donate once and I was turned down once. I didn't have a good iron count. But I'm eating my red meat and my spinach right now. And the t-shirts. You get swag. Oh.
I've seen the t-shirts. I don't know if you've gotten that postcard already, Lee, that they sent out.
Not.
I got one because I don't get less. They sent a postcard out that says, come visit the real bloodsuckers at DragonCon, is what it says. That's their kind of motto for this year. And the t-shirts are an awesome looking dragon on the front of the shirt. I mean, I'm like blown away by that t-shirt. Definitely going to be rolling up the sleeves.
Well, the one they gave a couple of years ago that was Live Long and Prosper. My son has stolen it from me, and he wears it all the time. He loves that shirt. He has stolen it from us, so that was great. So that was good. But okay, so you guys have a lot to do at DragonCon, just like anybody else. But who are you looking forward to this year seeing of one of our guests, or who's coming that you're like, oh, I can't. I'm going to find time to go to that one. So help me,
Stanley. Yeah, I've been collecting.
Yeah, I agree with John. Stanley.
He's never been to Atlanta that I know of, and I've been here for almost 26 years now doing the cons. I've been collecting comic books for years. I don't have as big of a collection as I used to, but I mean, when it comes to comics and you say Stan Lee, everybody knows who you're talking about. So probably when I saw his name on that, I was like, oh, I've got to find some time to go to a panel, see, you know. And then, of course, being in charge of the charity auction, the first thing I did was contact the higher powers up in DragonCon and say, we got to get something autographed by Stan Lee for the auction. I don't care if it's a comic. I'll donate the comic, you know, whatever.
I'll find an old version. Can we get –
Yeah, that's exactly. Cool. You know, I've got some old X-Men. I'll be more than happy to. Some old Spider-Man, something. I've got – you know, we've got to get Stan Lee. And I've had people – approached me already via email and through the web, you know, are you going to have anything from Stan Lee in the charity auction? I can't confirm that, you know, who knows what will happen, but that's high on my list.
That's high on our list, so that's always good. You guys are, Everett, you Stan Lee as well. Is there anybody else?
I'll speak for my wife. My wife is not on staff. I actually buy her badge every year because she loves to go to all the panels, and then every night she tells me all the good stories that I missed that
day. Yeah, everything that was going on. Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly. She's looking forward to Scott Bakula.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
same with Brenda. She's a big Quantum fan, Quantum Leap fan, and she saw that, she was like, oh, "God, he's not Richard Dean Anderson, but he'll do."
Yeah, Richard Dean Anderson would be over the top. Yeah.
Yeah.
See, John, it's not just me.
But it is a lot of you, though, Lee.
Shut up. Yeah, there's others I could have that I would just be like, I don't think I could speak coherently, but yeah, I think Richard Dean Anderson would be one of those that I would just be like, I'm usually pretty good about it.
Let me
actually, I did run into, it's very funny, and I do mean run into, because this is when I had hurt my eye last year. Well, some people knew this, but so I had like no depth perception and I couldn't see off my left side. So I actually physically ran into Bruce Boxleitner.
Yeah, it was an accident, right? It was a complete accident. No,
I had my head turned and I just did not even see him. And all of a sudden, actually, it took me like going, "Oh, I'm so sorry," and I walked on until I realized, "Oh my God, I just fit into my box." Yeah, because the person who was with me went, "Did you realize?" I went, "No, I was four steps away before I realized." And then you can't go back and go, "Really sorry I hit you, sir." That was kind of odd. So.
And Lee, you bring up a good point about what is so cool about Dragon Con. I mean,
yes.
I've gotten in the elevator.
Somebody after you've hurt yourself.
Well, that's true. But I've gotten in the elevator and taken the elevator at the Marriott Marquis with Ray Bradbury. I mean, I'm like, oh my God, I weaned myself on science fiction written by him. That kind of thing. I mean, just to be able to do that. That's Ray Bradbury. And then to fish out a copy of, The Martian Chronicles, which I just happened to have in my bag.
I just carry that all the time.
Oh, yeah. And say, could you? And I couldn't even speak. I know. I was like, Mr. And I finally had to slap myself. Mr. Bradbury, I'm like, Bradberg. No, that's not it. And he signed it and he drew a little caricature in it. I'm like, that's like, whoa, And then he went on his way and I went on mine. It was just like, wow.
And I'm a parent. And so, my son has gone around to my son and my nephew who come in and go around. And that's another thing at Dragon Con that you see. And it's awesome to see is talking with that. They'll talk with them. And if they have time, if they can, they will. And they love talking to the younger fans, the older fans, whoever, and it's always been great. I mean, they had a great time talking to the Ghost Hunters last year. I mean, they spent like 30 minutes talking to them about different things. And, hearing a 10-year-old ask questions like that, and they answer them very honestly and openly, and they take them seriously. And that means a lot of those kids, too, so it's always great. It's always fun to do that. So.
Everett, let me ask you, do you have a favorite memory of Dragon Con that just kind of encapsulates your fondness for the event?
Since you guys are talking about celebrity moments, one of mine, I had one of those kind of slap yourself in the forehead moments like John did in the elevator. Mine was at the restaurant at the Hyatt, standing there waiting on a table because there weren't enough tables. And as one cleared, the gentleman in front of me, they were going to seat him as a single, and he turned around and he said, would you like to eat with me? There's no reason for you to sit and wait. I didn't realize until we sat down, I had never met him before, but it was Harlan Ellison.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that is so awesome.
I ate lunch talking to Harlan Ellison for half an hour. That was just the coolest thing to me, is that guests, the writers, the artists, the celebrities from the TV shows, they're real people. I mean, they're like everybody else. They just do a totally different job from what we do, and some of us have them in awe. And Harlan Ellison has always been one of my favorite writers, and I had
really?
No idea.
Oh,
yeah, it was just really cool.
That's awesome. I love it.
And I think we talked about this probably mostly with Regina when we were talking with her, that the difference between the current version of San Diego Comic-Con, because I do remember there was a time when San Diego Comic-Con actually was about comics. But the current version of San Diego Comic-Con and DragonCon and how the vibe is such a different thing, where it seems to me, and I had I've mentioned this before, I put on a smaller convention in Jacksonville several years ago, but in talking to the agents there, when they talk about DragonCon, they talk about it with a different kind of reverence than they do other conventions, even our convention, is that, you know, DragonCon is really a fans convention. And that's why I say, you know, it that impresses the hell out of me that we've gotten so much, especially just not just money, but of blood and whatnot. Mm-hmm. You don't have the big spectacle that San Diego Comic-Con does. It is a spectacle, but it's a spectacle of a different sort.
It's a sounding board for Hollywood now, is what it's become.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
it's a PR con.
Yeah. It's a passion, you know, and I hear it in your guys' voice of the fandom that's out there and the caring for the community and being part of the community and being charity and whatnot. And somehow I got on the soapbox, so I'm going to just go ahead and step right off of it right now.
No, that's a good soapbox, but it is something that the vibe at we've made a joke about it, but it really is true, is that all of us that work at DragonCon work there because we want to throw an intimate party for 30,000 of our closest, nearest, and dearest friends. And
exactly.
And
yep.
That's exactly what DragonCon is. It's a party, and it's a party 24/7. If you are up, God love you, at 3 a.m., you're going to find something to do. If you're like me and sleeping at 3 a.m., you can find the quiet hotel so you can get some sleep. So,
you know, I've gotten up at 5 in the morning, 4 or 5 in the morning, and do my runs at the convention. I'm that dedicated. Sorry, I'm more crazy, depending on which way you want to look at it. And it's amazing how many people are walking around, how many parties are still going on, and then even to get on the streets of Atlanta. And, you know, people wonder about being on the streets of Atlanta in just normal time. You know, it's just you're out there at 4 in the morning and there's half a dozen stormtroopers walking down from,
yes,
you know, some restaurant that's been open 24 hours, or maybe coming from another hotel where they had a party. And, you know, people now have got so used to it almost. The locals are aware of it. Our parade that we have every year, I mean, it has gotten national attention. You know, we've been featured in Us Magazine and CNN.
Yep.
Always has a story about it. I mean, it's just so amazing. But again, it's amazing that as big as we've gotten, our goal is to provide the best we can for the fans. And even in this tough economic times, and I know this from personal because my wife being the office manager, the convention is already broken last year's pre-registration. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
The pre-reg are numbers that some convention would die just to have as regular attendance, and that's our pre-reg. And how we've gone from one hotel in Atlanta to now five hotels, is it, Lee? I mean, the
five,
Hyatt.
Yes. The Hyatt, Hilton, the Marriott, the Hilton, the Sheraton, and unofficially, but holding things, is Destin, yeah.
Yep.
But
yeah,
we're having,
you know,
panels and part there. So, yeah, I mean, that's it's amazing.
To see the feedback that goes on the web, and that's been a good tool for DragonCon. And again, I think a lot of it is because DragonCon is also known as a geek festival, Geek Nick, that kind of thing. I mean, our tracks reflect it when you have podcasting, when you have space and science, robotics. So it's just not about, you know, there's that geek factor. So you get on the live journals and you get on the boards and people talk about DragonCon.
Well, and it's something for everybody, too. It's always one of those things I want to say. If you want to get in costume and dress up and have your adult Halloween, this is where to go. If you want to go and actually find out what is the next thing that the legal experts are seeing on the horizon for net neutrality, you can also do that at DragonCon. I mean, you're going to have the range there. I have everything from literally somebody telling ghost stories one night to a serious discussion on religion and spirituality, and what's correct and not correct in some of the shows. I mean, you have everything. And if you can't find something to do at Dragon Con, then you're just not looking. I gotta say, you gotta be dead.
That's the only thing I can say. If you can't find anything to do at Dragon Con, you're dead.
Or else you just got into brain lock by trying to look through the grid and decide which thing to go to.
That is true.
Yeah.
Well, I will also say too, people do go by the charity events because they've given you teasers here. But if you think your little tiny obscure fandom isn't going to be in there, you might be very mistaken. You don't know what might be there. There are a lot of artists and a lot of people who have come to Dragon Con before and hold it near and dear to their hearts. And John and everybody else knows them. And we beg. We have no shame on begging for charity.
Oh, I'm great at groveling. Not at all.
Not a problem with that. So if you are worried about that, don't worry.
And you never know. I mean, like you're right, Lee. You hit it on the nail. I mean, every year, you know, people ask me, well, what do you have? I can give them some of the big items that we've already received, you know, and things like that.
Yep.
But 90% of it I'm going to get at the con because it's going to be the guests that show up with these items. It's going to be fans that are going to donate things. It's going to be some of our exhibitors, some of our dealers. They will donate. So we don't know until Sunday morning. We're like Christmas almost, you know. We're opening up things going, wow, this ought to do well, or we're not quite sure about this. And then to come to find out some of the things that we don't think, you know, would do well, end up, you know, they're like, oh, I'm not quite sure about this, and end up being one of our garnering some big dollars. I mean, you know, so you never know what kind of crowd we're going to have, what kind of merchandise we're going to have, and that's what makes it so exciting, because it just varies from year to year.
So this is great. Yeah, so yay, charity. Go get blood.
Give blood.
It's open on Thursday. Oh, and just saw that. It is open on Thursday.
Yeah,
so
after
you go and get your badge, it's going to be both in the Marriott and the Sheraton on Thursday. So then go give blood there before you start your partying.
Yeah,
you can get it out of the way. You can have the great blood badge of courage there with the little Band-Aid. You know, come on.
And if you're doing a costume that maybe a zombie type costume, just think those bandages would look great. You got a part of a costume already going.
You're already there. It's awesome.
Yep. Now, let me ask you, as we wrap this up, let me ask you both a variation on the question that we normally ask. Actually, there's two last questions, and I'll just go ahead and ask them both to you right now. The first one being, if you could have any dream guest at Dragon Con, and I'll give you three guests, living or dead, who would they be? And the second question also would be, your charity event, the charity auction happens on Sunday. How do you guys close out your it might be just on a personal level because I'm not sure how the charity closes out the con. But what do you guys do Monday? What is the last thing you guys do before packing up and calling it a con for the year? We'll go ahead and start with you, Everett.
Okay. My dream guest is deceased. It would have been Harlan Ellison. I mean, Harlan Ellison. No, it was
Harlan Ellison.
Another story. it would have been Robert Heinlein. And you know that would have been my dream guest. And to answer your other question, what I do on Monday is I go around to all of the other departments and talk to all my friends that I haven't had a chance to see most of the weekend. I kind of hang out during the day in different departments, just hanging with my friends. Because to me, most of the Dragon Con staff is family to me. They're people that not only do I get to come to a family reunion in Atlanta once a year, but a lot of them I see at other conventions in North Carolina, in Chattanooga, just all over the place. And they're friends and family that I didn't know until I started to do conventions. So to me, Dragon Con is a big family, and it's a family reunion every year, and I couldn't ask for a more fun time.
Cool.
Aww.
And John?
Right. If my choice for a guest, I mean, that's difficult. There's a lot of great people out there that I would love to have, both living and deceased. But probably if I could get somebody, I would love to have had at one time or to get Jack Kirby. Again, it's for a comic-related fan, but, mm-hmm. I mean, Jack Kirby has probably created most of the comic icons that we're aware of now, you know. He's been cartooning, you know, been doing, comic books for years. And, I was fortunate enough, believe it or not, at a San Diego Comic Con to actually chat with and party with Jack Kirby. But I would love to have him at, Dragon Con, you know, if we could get him. Unfortunately, he passed away a number of years ago, but, he would be my one guest that I would love to have. How do I celebrate the end of the auction? Usually on Monday, it's, believe it or not, I go back and I try to touch base with a lot of the actors, a lot of the agents who brought in these actors or the media guests to thank them for their donation. It also keeps me in, you know, it helps me create that rapport that I have with a lot of the agents and media guests for next year when they come, if they come back, to be able to, you know, make sure that they're donating again. But I like to go through and then, you know, if somebody donated something, to let them know how much it went for. You know, a lot of them want to know if you know, a copy of their book went for anything or how much it went for, or if that autograph artwork that they sold, you know, they gave to us, how much it went for. So I just let them know that, you know, we appreciate it. Thank you for your donation. You know, we collected X amount of dollars for it, just to let you know. And a few of the guests have actually told me that they never really thought that the item they gave were worth anything, but it made them start giving to other charity auctions now because they've come to realize that there are fans out there who are willing to write a check or give cash, mm-hmm. to have something like that from them. And so a lot of it is also an ego booster to a lot of our guests, you know, to let them know that, yeah, you may think that you're only a lowly penciler, but you know what? There's a comic fan out there that might like your work. And, what you didn't think was worth anything brought us $30. Well, that's $30 more than,
That's $30 that went to charity, which is great.
Exactly.
Well, and I just think it's just so great. I know I usually see you guys walking around on Monday as I'm running to turn in things. But what I really hope you're doing on Monday, first thing, is counting all the money. And I hope it takes you a really long time because there's a lot of money. So that's what hope happens this year for Dragon.
And that year, and usually that's what we do on Monday. Usually by Monday afternoon, after the both auctions and have been collected and things like that, we will make the announcement. Again, we're hoping for $25,000, at least make $25,000. I'm hoping for $30,000 between both the main charity auction and the Stargate charity auction. And so, and I think we have a very good chance based on some of the items that I'm seeing coming across right now before the con. Mm-hmm. You know, and that kind of thing.
Okay, and so to wrap up, just tell us again where the table is set up for Friday and Saturday, and where the actual big event happens.
Go ahead, John. I'll let you go.
Okay, the charity auction drop off booth is located what we call the marquee ballroom registration booth, which is located outside the Marquee Ballroom on the Marquee level of the Marriott Marquee. You see a pattern here, folks, which is basically one level down from the main entrance as you enter the Marriott Marquee. Take the escalator down. As you're coming down the escalator, kind of look to your right and behind you, and you will see the registration booth there, which for the Marriott, the Marquee Ballroom. That's open from Friday and Saturday from 9 to 6. And then the charity auction itself takes place, the main charity auction takes place from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. in the Regency 5 Ballroom at the Hyatt Regency. And then, of course, following us will be the Stargate auction. There's an hour lull, so we can kind of wrap up our thing before they took over. And they'll be on from 4 to 6 with the Stargate charity auction as well. And then the blood drive, that is, God. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and I believe Monday.
And I believe Monday morning, yes.
Yes, you know, and I'm not I don't have the exact hours that they're here. I think, Lee, you touched on it earlier. And they'll be located, I think, the first two or three days of the con. They're actually going to be located at two locations, both the Marriott and the Sheraton. And then Sunday and Monday, they'll be at the Sheraton only. So, I mean, excuse me, at the Marriott only. But plenty of opportunity for us to collect those 3,000-plus pints that we're shooting for this year.
Well, and I will give you the drive times right now. Thursday, 2 p.m. to 11 p.m. on Thursday. So going late on Thursday, that's very cool. Friday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Saturday, 10 to 7. Sunday, 10 to 7. And Monday, 9 to 5, actually on Labor Day. They're going to be still have people there to help do the donations. So you can get all of those days, which is good.
Cool. Well,
so very cool.
John, thank you very much. I appreciate it and appreciate the work that you're doing. And Everett, thank you as well and all the work that you're putting into this. And as I've told the directors and various staff that we've had on here, I can't express in words how lucky we are to have so many people that are willing to spend their to take the time out and to put together a great show for the other 40,000 of us that are showing up on your doorstep in just a couple of days.
Well, thank you for that. And I just want to say one thing from the other side. I want to say thank you to you and Lee because I've been listening to the podcast and I have been hearing great things from other people that are listening to them. And I think what you guys are doing is some of the best publicity and the best thing that you that could be done for DragonCon.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
I definitely agree.
Thank you. We're having a lot of fun, and John just tells mean, mean stories about me. But other than that, I'm having a lot of fun.
All right, guys. So until I see you all at DragonCon, this is John for the Unique Geek and Lee saying peace.
Yay! See you soon.
This has been a production of the Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 833-210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter at @TheUniqueGeek. Visit our listserv at listserv.theuniquegeek.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons Share Alike non-commercial license.